Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be talking about really one of the greatest composers in all of music history, Johann Sebastian Bach. Some people think of Bach's music as potentially a little cold, a little mathematical, but I'm here to tell you otherwise. His music ranges in expressive content between the very serene to the sort of angry, to a rather dark and forlorn. In short, his music spans the range of human experience. But there's one particular aspect of Bach's music I want to talk about today, and that is a certain technique that he uses almost all the time. It's one of his favorite techniques, and that is the ability he had to combine multiple melodies together at the same time. We call that counterpoint. Here's what happens. He'll take a melody, and keep going with that melody, and maybe take the same melody a little bit higher and add something to it. And sometimes he'll add two and three and four melodies at the same time. This is called counterpoint, and it's a particular kind of counterpoint we call imitative polyphony. And what that means is that each melody imitates each other. Here's the one melody, imitated by, and so on. What I'd love to do is kind of take you into Bach's workshop right now and show you how this process works. Okay, let's say you're Bach and you're sitting down at the harpsichord. It's about 1720, and you start your workday by coming up with a melody like this one. Terrific tune. It's a little dancey melody. It's actually written in the style of an Irish jig. Well, some composers would be very happy with that, put a few chords underneath it, and so on, and that would be your piece. But Bach doesn't work that way. Here's what he does. He takes his melody, and then gives it to the left hand down here. And those two melodies, the first one keeps going, the second one comes in here. And then he keeps going yet again, and he gives another melody, this time to your third hand, I suppose. That's what makes this music so miraculous. It's beautiful, it's fun to listen to, but it's astonishing when you look at the way it's put together. I'm just going to take those last few seconds I just played and just kind of peel some of the layers back. Here's the bottom melody. Here's melody number two on top of that. Beautiful. But then melody number three on top of those two. Magic really happens. Well, Bach, being Bach, isn't content to just play even that complex of a game. What he'll do quite often is take these melodies now that we know very well, and he'll literally turn it upside down. In other words, instead of going the way we know it, down the scale, he takes virtually the same notes but turns it on its head, as if the music was just flipped on the music rack. So you see the way this turns into, and then the same process, that same melody upside down, down low. A third melody in the top. Thank you. notes kind of coalesce and end on the one note at the end. As you were listening, I bet you could tell, actually you probably couldn't, but it's in there, the upside down melody suddenly writes itself up and turns right side up, just like we knew from the beginning of the piece. So all these kind of musical techniques, games really, that Bach plays, would be just interesting and kind of cool if that's all they were. But what brings Bach's music into the realm of really the transcendent, and why we consider his music so great, and why we consider him perhaps one of the very greatest composers who've ever lived, is that all of these techniques, all of these ideas, all of these games that he plays are at the service of something greater. They're at the service of musical beauty. If the music weren't beautiful, we wouldn't care nearly so much about it.